Technorama episode 471, Game of Drones.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Whoa, today is 420. Where can I get my prescription?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you! Thank you for joining us. We hope that some of you are just finding us for the first time and enjoy it. Sit back, enjoy it. And those who are returning, well, thank you for bringing the rest of them along. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
No, I'm not high.
What? How high are you? You reminded me of a story from Hawaii, but I'll get to it in a second after we're done with the introductions. Also joining us in the Binary Studio is...
Ben Ragginton.
Hey, from...
TG Geeks.
There we go. And...
This is Jack Mangan, and I did not inhale, and I did not enjoy it.
Sure.
And rounding out the dynamic trio...
And I'm Keith Lane from...
The other half.
TG Squared Studios.
So the story about Hawaii, we were in a resort with a friend of ours, and every year seemed like she got a higher number floor. And we were up on the 11th of 12 floors. We're almost at the top. And she said, and I want this on a t-shirt, the older I get, the higher I want to be.
Or would it be?
Warning.
Oh, dear.
Maybe a little bit of both.
And on that note, we are going to get into it. Coming up on this episode, we have Internet Names a Wessel, Netflix recommendation for you, and someone has moved in next door. All that and more coming right up. Stick around.
Hello, Rippy's Computers. This is Lenny. How can I help you? Okay, sir. This is a very common problem with new computers. Right. Hold down Control-Alt-Delete. Great. Task Manager. That's right, sir. The Processes tab. Just a little further, sir. Click on the top of the listing where it says Image Name. That sorts them alphabetically. Now you need to scroll down a bit until you find one labeled SpoolSV.exe. Click on it once, then locate the button in the lower right of the window labeled End Process.
Thanks, man.
No problem, sir. Just another day of killing a zombie process.
This is Richard Garriott.
Lord British.
Private Space Explorer. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
You need to be pew, pew, pew for that. That was terrible.
Ben let out the best groan on that punchline.
That's too
hot. That was a minute of setup for 2 seconds of,
groan.
You know, as I was listening to that, it sounded very much like the lab guides Craig and I have to write with step-by-step instructions and the pictures on them.
I don't have to write them. It's like the instructions that I have to write every time I'm training new employees. It's the same kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
Okay, look at this and look at this. Yep. And I'm all the screen captures circling all the buttons and all that. Yeah, I'm quite familiar with it.
We have feedback. Our question last week to you, lovely listener. What? Well, sing the song first.
Eddersley. 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 Every A day. LMA, LMA. LMA, UTD.
UTD? He can't keep up.
I haven't done this in a long time.
I didn't know you were bilingual.
Oh boy.
Elman Ude Pay.
Obey. Oh, yo, oh boy. Obey.
I think he's using Google Translate to get that food.
Our question last week was, if you were stuck on a deserted island with one of the Gilligan's Islands castaways, which would you choose and
oh,
why?
That's right.
Oh. I like Jack's answer, but we're going to save that for the end.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Keith. Gilligan's Island character and why?
I don't know. Ginger, because she had fabulous clothes.
Okay, that'll work. Okay. It's a good answer. Craig?
I'm a Marianne guy because...
Craig went away.
I don't know. I just like the pigtails and the farm look.
All right.
Works for me.
He's that clean, simple Midwestern
like,
farm girl thing.
Like the... You know, it's the Farmer Brown forbidden fruit thing going on.
Uh-huh. Farmer Brown forbidden fruit.
My answer that I gave last week was the professor, because we could have intellectual conversations, and I thought he was one of the least irritating of the characters. Ben?
Yeah, but if you're on the island for a long time, I think you'll run out of things to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to have to say, Mr.
Thurston Howell?
Thurston Howell, yeah. Because of the drinks.
The drinks. I thought he was going to say money.
The money is really nice, but it's all about the drinks.
Somewhere.
And we have a listener who wrote in and said, John Miller says, Marianne, for obvious reasons, she makes great coconut pie.
Read into that as you will.
Yes. Coconut.
Jack, do you remember your answer?
I do remember my answer. Actually, I had three answers, so I kind of cheated a little bit.
That's all right. I loved it.
So okay. Number one, of course, was Marianne.
Yeah.
Number two was the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And number three is Hurley.
I had to think really hard on that. I was like, when was there a Hurley on Gilligan's Island? It dawned on me, he jumped show.
Totally jumped show.
A jump ship.
Yep.
Yep.
He swam to the next island. Right.
He jumped on the shark. Lost. Right.
I was going to say the smoke monster, but I figured Hurley was...
Yeah, we're in the
Hurley,
island lost.
I like Hurley better than the smoke monster. That was classic Jack for you right there.
Thank you.
We also have a call in. Oh, I forgot. We have one from Mark.
Hey, guys. This is Mark. You know, the other ranger you guys know, or at least the Czech knows from Mount Rainier. Your question is intriguing. Two words, Marianne, a simple American beauty, uncomplicated, just 100% natural. What's
background
not
music
like
with this one?
Marianne? I think hands down, she beats Ginger by a mile. And there's just no argument. So, thanks for the question.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on Gilligan's Island. Bye.
I was hoping you were going to play that.
After listening to the last couple episodes of your show, that is just impactful. Thanks for the crossover.
That's funny.
All right, I'll fade it out.
Say we're gonna end up getting YouTubed here.
Well, if they haven't gotten YouTube for playing that,
no, we play it on our show. Yeah. I think it's public domain by now,
just about.
Thanks. Closing theme. And if you didn't make it into this week's show, you can still answer that question any old time. If you've got a great answer, send it to us. 707-530-2428. Am I still right? Is that the new number?
I think so. Scroll to the end of the show notes and
scroll. Yeah, 707-530-CHAT. We want to hear from you. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Go to our Facebook page, put a comment there. We'd love to hear from you as well. It's mm-hmm. history time. Are we rolling for initiative, or are we just going to do a straight linear thing?
I'm game for rolling.
Okay.
I don't have a script, so I can't participate.
Oh, I got
Dang
a
it.
Four.
I can't participate. I don't have a script.
Oh, he doesn't have a script. Oh. Okay, well, then it's up to Jack and Ben.
Dang it.
Roll the d20. Craig, what'd you get?
7.
It's not looking good.
I got 17.
11 here.
Starting.
Okay, great. You get to intro, and then I'll start the first one.
Jack, what'd you get?
You got 11.
11.
11. Okay, so we're going...
Well, what did you get, Chuck?
Boom, boom, boom. I got a 4.
And
we're going Ben, Jack, Craig.
Craig.
Chuck.
Chuck.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. As I see it, it's as you going see it. Clockwise.
Clockwise. All right.
Because the monitor is right between me and Jack.
Here we go.
If I can remember that.
Yeah, it's not exactly in the order for Keith running the cameras, so this should be doubly entertaining. All righty. Out.
This is, oh boy, thank you. On this day in history for April 20, 2016, you surprised me.
On this day.
This is the 111th day. I'm speaking in Hobbit speak. Of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 255 days remaining in 2016. And it was on this day in 1534 that Jacques Cartier begins the voyage during which he discovers Canada and the Labrador dog.
Canada. Also today, in 1535, the sundog phenomenon observed over Stockholm and depicted in the famous painting Vaderstalvalavel.
Close. Very close.
Vaderstalvalavel. Everybody knows that one, right? Okay.
Craig?
April 20th, 1836, U.S. Congress passes the act creating the Wisconsin territory of which Chuck Tomasi promptly escaped.
There used to be a thing that says Escape to Wisconsin. That used to be their state motto until everybody changed their bumper stickers and says Escape from Wisconsin.
Promptly escape the Wisconsin territory. Chuck, I had no idea you were that old.
And then they changed it to Wisconsin, you're among friends. Huh? Only with the influx of Asians, they changed it to Wisconsin, you're among friends.
Ooh.
I didn't make this up.
Okay. It's edgy.
Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard complete the experiment falsifying the theory of spontaneous generation on this date in 1862.
It was 151 years ago today that astronomer Angelo Secchi, I'm believing that's correct how that's pronounced, demonstrates the Secchi disk. Sounds awful. Which measures water clarity aboard Pope Pius IX's yacht. The what the what? Little colada.
I feel like I'm if you like lima coladas.
If you like lima coladas, yeah.
Concepción. Immaculata Concepción. It's the Immaculate Conception.
Ah.
Now you see it?
Now I do.
Okay. Now you feel my pain, man.
April 20th, 1902. Pierre and Marie Curie, refine radium chloride.
Woohoo!
It was 98 years ago today that Manfred von Richthofen...
He got it! That was
he
it!
He got it, yeah! Yes.
Richthofen, a.k.a. the Red Baron, shoots down his 79th and 80th victims, his final victories before his death, the following day.
What a great way to go, huh?
Yeah.
Western Electric and Warner Brothers announce Vitaphone, a process to add sound to film 90 years ago today.
And it was 44 years ago today, Apollo 16, commanded by John Young, lands on the moon.
1 minute to
auto-destruct.
Wait, no, stop!
We're going to go out with a bummer, I guess. It was 6 years ago today that the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig explodes in the Gulf of Mexico, killing 11 workers and beginning an oil spill that would last 6 months.
Oh, you know what else we should have put on that would have been fun was the...
That would have been... No, something else that we would have put on that would have been...
Something else that would have been fun.
Something else that is just as fun, much fun.
The Icelandic volcano was about this time of year, too. Just for the name.
Just for the name.
Speaking out of turn, Chuck.
It's your turn. Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday goes out on this date to American scientist and academic Eli Whitney Blake Jr., born on this date in 1836.
Also born on this date in 1889, Adolf Hitler. No title necessary.
No.
Swedish physicist Kai Siegbahn was born in April 20th, 1918.
What? Yeah, the founder of the Eternal World Television Network. Mother Angelica is 93 today.
She's still kicking. All right.
Yeah, drummer, huh?
Oh, sorry. I got out of turn. Your turn.
It's Chuck. Or Craig.
Drummer Tito Puente was born today in 1923.
Tito Puente.
Great drummer, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
K. Alex Mueller, the Swiss physicist and Nobel Prize laureate, is 89. Nine.
Yeah, happy birthday to English astronomer Gerald S. Hawkins, born today in 1928.
Is that Stephen's brother?
Nine.
Yeah. Oh my. Oh my. Oh Mr. My. Sulu, George Takei, is 79.
Oh my.
Craig?
Who's next? I thought it was Jack. I was waiting for Jack.
Jack just went.
Just did George Takei.
Oh, I thought it was sounded like Keith. Never mind.
He's not playing today.
I know, but crying out loud. Okay, actress Jessica Lange turned 67.
Singer, songwriter, and producer Luther Vandross would have been 65.
Donald Petit, engineer and astronaut, is 61.
Clint Howard, the actor from Gentle Ben and
Tanya?
Belloc
Tanya?
From Star Trek, the original series, is now 57.
Yeah, we salute you with a Tranya.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I keep doing that. When I see your face on camera, I'll shut up, okay?
Okay, George McFly actor Crispin Glover is 52.
Sharing the same exact birthday is actor and director Andy Serkis. He's 52, precious.
The co-founder of Yahoo, David Filo, is 50.
Also, don't forget...
That was Jack's turn. Jack.
Now he's out of turn.
You want it, Craig?
I'm having a hard enough time keeping up here.
No, please, Jack.
All right.
Please. You're my guest.
And Craig did not forget. You should not either. Don't forget, this is 420, International Cannabis Culture Holiday.
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 Look at that, right on time.
Oh, I didn't get you a card. I'm sorry.
Close this. Close it. Quick, Craig.
Oh. And that's the way it was on this date in history, April 20th, 2016.
Yes!
That was awesome timing.
We made it!
Barely.
We keep pushing the limits.
What did we make?
History.
The finish of the music.
We made history. Go with it.
Bad news, nobody.
Oh, this wasn't bad news. You changed the stories around. We had to take one out because it was a spoof.
Dang it.
Hey.
About the guy who deleted everything on his hard drive.
It's not bad news, dear. As long as this thing isn't coming straight for us.
Look out, he's coming straight for us.
A galaxy orbiting our own just appeared out of nowhere.
Who knew?
Researchers scanning the skies just got a big surprise. Hey, I'm a poet and didn't know it. They spotted a humongous galaxy orbiting our own where none had been seen before. It appeared seemingly out of nowhere. So, just how did the newly discovered Crater 2... I want to know what happened to Crater 1.
They described it as a big bang.
How did it manage to pull off this feat? Like a deer leaping from the interstellar bushes to stare us down through our collective headlights? Although the appearance may seem sudden, the fact that Crater 2 has been there all along, we just missed it. Now that we know it's there, though, there are a few other humiliating details that astronomers discovered. First of all, we can't blame the galaxy's size for its relative obscurity. Crater 2 is so enormous, even though it's a smaller galaxy. It's one of the bigger, smaller ones, apparently. It's already been pegged as the fourth largest galaxy orbiting our own. We can't blame the distance either. Crater 2's orbit around the Milky Way puts it right in our neighborhood. So, that being said, how did we still not know it was there? A newspaper out on the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society from researchers at the University of Cambridge has answered all of that for us. It turns out that despite being large and close, Crater 2 is also a pretty dark galaxy, kind of like the latest
dark
Batman.
Matter, maybe.
In fact, it's one of the dimmest galaxies ever spotted in the universe. That, along with some much brighter neighbors, let the galaxy that researchers have nicknamed the Feeble Giant escape detection until now. They're really good at turning their lights out at night, so we don't notice them.
Yeah, I'm curious why they call it Crater too.
I don't know where that. I'm curious about where the name came from. Also, But it just goes to show there's still so much about space we don't know. If we've got a galaxy that's in our own neighborhood.
Except for it's infinitely large.
No, it's not infinitely large.
Well, it's just sad.
It's like a globular cluster. It's like right there, like the Magellanic clouds. Only
no, I was trying to think what Fry, what did Fry say?
Shut up and take space, my money.
It just seems to be going on and on forever.
Oh yeah, his introduction.
Yeah, that's right. Space.
It seems to go on forever.
Yeah.
Right. Any comments from the gallery?
Nothing.
It's sciencey.
Yeah. Very.
I knew it was there.
It was sciencey. Yes.
You knew it was there.
Yeah, I knew it was there.
Just in one. Maybe you knew secrets out of the bag, Jack.
Is that where the
nobody asked?
Is that where the asteroid that's coming to destroy the Earth is coming from?
No, that wouldn't come from another galaxy. That'd be too far.
Way too far.
Oh dang.
Okay, here's
you're
one we can
you're
help
disappointed.
On. This is oh dang. Okay. So
hey,
there's
hey,
been
maybe, a, hey Chuck, maybe yes? They should have had an internet poll to name the new galaxy just like
yes, just like this boat, because we know how well that went. And the internet continues to never disappoint. Never continues to disappoint.
Oh, here was the thing.
Oh, for the picture of the galaxy.
Picture of the galaxy.
A picture
sorry.
Of a galaxy. I don't know if that's
there. We go.
It's galaxy. Is
this
galaxy
go with that
face.
Too?
Is that, same one they all look alike.
No, that's an extrasolar planet being discovered 100 okay. years ago.
I see.
I don't know if that, I think that story's coming later.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody
I don't know what's in here.
Who wants to read this ridiculous story?
I do.
We're going to roll Craig. For initiative on the story.
Did I hear Craig say that he wants to?
I just said.
Who is it? Craig. Go.
Okay,
go.
I'll do it.
No, I'm Craig kidding. Wants
go
to.
Ahead, Craig.
No, be my guest, Jack.
Stole the cannabis holiday for me.
Yeah. Who stole the cannabis holiday?
Holiday. How do you celebrate cannabis holiday anyway?
Well, okay.
In case you missed it, in case you need any more evidence that the internet left unfettered is awful, Bodie McBoatface has now won the poll as a name for an upcoming polar research vessel.
Vessel?
So last month, the Natural Environment Research Council, yes, opened a poll asking the internet strangers. We're all kind of strangers, I guess, on the internet.
Some are stranger
internet
than others.
Internet strangers?
Yeah, some are stranger than others. What they should name the new boat. Rather than going with a short list of options, they made it wide open. So, predictably, the internet rallied behind Bodie McBoatface. I can't even say it without laughing. So, the option the option collected 124,109 votes, four more times than second place, RRS Poppy May. Honorable mention also goes to, honorable mention goes to RSS. RRS.
It's bloody cold here.
That's the one I would have picked.
Which rolled in fourth with 10,679 votes. Before you get excited, remember all the final naming decision goes to NERC first.
Thank goodness.
I hope they veto this one.
Yeah.
Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface. But did you see the memo from director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for
McFury or Fury
McFury yeah the McFlurry
Fury McFury
dang it this fantastic
it's a McFury
and McFlurry yeah
he's now a Ronald McDonald character
Samuel L. McJackson yeah
Samuel McJackson that's it
Samuel McJackson no. Oh where's my Samuel Jackson soundboard when I need it
no it was supposed to be a memo from Nick Fury it says no matter how many times how many people agents want to name the next helicarrier Serenity just because you're spray painting it on the side, it needs to stop or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Oh hey, my.
By the way, when I read the Bodie McBoatface name, I kept thinking, I got this image of like Thomas the Tank Engine, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Face stuck on the front of it.
Yeah, you have to do something with the paint job now. You have to put a face on it. I mean,
if Nerf like decides to stick with it, yeah,
doing like the Pixar Cars, you know?
Yeah, exactly. With the nice big eyes and the smiley face on it.
We're doing science, boys.
It'll turn into a movie franchise before you know it.
Exactly. Yeah, let Disney get their hands on it.
When did Polar Research?
They'll make a whole animated feature behind Bodie McBoatface.
Let's go to the North Pole and see the narwhal.
That's right.
You might have something there.
Well, you know, they could turn into a big environmental cartoon that way.
That's true.
That's not a half cracked bad idea that worse than their other half cracked bad ideas.
Let's go to their other innate polls. Do you have any great ideas
half
for
a
science?
Crack? What?
Oh, wait, it's cannabis day. Yeah,
that's right.
Not half cracked day.
That's half cracked day.
Isn't that the general in Beetle Bailey? General Half Crack?
No, no, half track. Half track. Half track.
Thank you for bailing me out.
That's the plumber in Beetle Bailey.
I thought that was half ass cracked.
Wow, did we just go down a serious rabbit hole?
I would sorry. I say so. Yeah.
Just choked to death here. Hey,
I think so, and it hurts coming from me.
What the new listener must think.
Oh, my.
Heck am I listening to?
Let's do the birthday list. We've got a couple of them on here, and one's not even a birthday, so that means we have a half a birthday
today. We can
today.
Skip it then.
No, don't skip it.
Happy anniversary to Kim and Craig. Craig, right. You got to get a present soon or make reservations at a restaurant.
Happy
it's your anniversary on
happy
Thursday.
Anniversary. Oh, happy crap. Anniversary.
Wait, Wednesday.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I invite them over here for this.
Yeah, I don't. Have you ever noticed that the show just kind of derails whenever we're here?
It's asking for trouble.
Chuck, you ever invited people over to help you move? You don't give them beer before you help them move. You do it after.
Yeah, we had cake and ice cream.
Oh, so. We are. Sugar
we're on a sugar high.
That's right.
And then he eats cannabis when you can have sugar.
Yeah. 23rd is runtime. Happy to birthday to happy McBirthday to both of you.
Happy McRuntime.
This could go very Scottish. If you want to get on the Technorama McBirthday McCalendar, visit our McWiki.
I have to play this
McWiki.
Song just because of the way it starts.
McWiki sounds like a song. Is today.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Bertie! Happy birthday to you! Go to hell, you old bastard!
By the way, McWiki sounds like something on the dollar menu at McDonald's.
It's a McQuickie.
McFury.
McQuickie. Quickie. As a better to a McLongie.
Let me have a McQuickie. We need to take a break. Take
that's
our,
not on the dollar menu.
Take
me
our
you.
Medicine. We'll be right
Mick,
back.
Our Mick medicine.
Hang on, because we've got more insanity coming right up. Oh, apparently we have Remember When segment. Craig's been adding to the show notes, and I didn't know it. So we'll
there.
Read up
it's
and be
there,
right back.
Check this out.
A floppy disk or cassette tape is made up of ferric oxide. When a other magnet comes in proximity, it goes.
I think that's what I said, Chuck.
Thanks, Mr. Wizard.
The Google Web Accelerator.
The Google Web Accelerator.
Nope, no reverb on that one, buddy.
Oh, man.
Implying I had been surfing for 6 hours. Back, ye demon Google Web Decelerator from my system and everything web connected.
Tell me, sir, what do you think of Technorama?
Best promos in the podosphere.
But as for the rest of the show, meh.
Yeah. Oh, the promos are great.
Yeah. Best promo. That's about all we got going for us.
Well, hey, we'll be good when they finally add that to the podcast awards, the promo section.
Promos, yeah. The parts are going.
Yeah. A promo category.
Section. Yeah.
That actually would be kind
best
of fun.
That should exist,
best
actually.
The promo goes to.
Might be a business opportunity in there. Hey, yeah. We do this show live every Sunday night. If you want to be part of the fun, you can join us. Go to bit.ly/Technorama Live or go to our Technorama website at chuckchat.com and you will see a button there. You can tune in and you see all this before it gets edited and even some things that don't even make it in the show when the microphones aren't really on, which is take 1, 2, and 3 before remember to hit record.
Yeah.
We have a Remember When, I think it's, did we know, no Hacky and Strange Story this week? Okay. Nope.
No.
All right. Like just making sure I didn't miss anything this time. Sometimes we get it out of order. So we'll play this real fast so we don't get in trouble.
Yeah,
there.
Just toss it over like a little bit.
Bewitched almost.
Yeah.
Where is it? I lost it. Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go. All right. We have in the Remember When section.
Oh, I've seen this.
The computer classic movie from like the 1960s.
This I have not seen.
This is a 15-minute video from AT&T where they bring in a lot of technology that you wouldn't expect to see in the 60s. They have a light pen, and they're putting together a schematic. So they're dragging symbols onto and creating a schematic that they can simulate. Hmm. Like, that's stuff that I didn't see until the late 80s.
No.
What else? There was music. They were just doing like, doot, doot, doot. In fact, the music... They say at one point, all of the music for this video is generated on a computer. And it's really obvious. You didn't have to tell us that. It's annoying at times. I'm going to bring some of that in and fade that out.
You know, this might be impressive, but I look at this and I just expect to see Crow and Tom Servo in the bottom right corner.
That was my first instinct when Craig and Clint Elver pointed me to this. And I said, I so want to MST this thing. I mean, the dialogue is terrible.
Can you possibly do it now?
Sure can.
Great. That's the second half.
They were talking about computer graphics and how they could pick up this picture with the camera that's made from a digital recording, and they called them B-flicks. So this guy's handing him says, here's the latest B-flicks film. Could you load this up for me? Like, oh, it was a predecessor of Netflix, apparently.
Yeah, or B-flicks. That's what I hear.
We're not going back to the McQuickie, are we?
No. Hey, it's kind of funny at one scene about 7 minutes in where they have the graphics.
Yes.
And you see the monolith circling the sphere.
Oh. I'm having a seizure watching these videos. I can't even read the text. It's like El Hombre.
This music was computed. Soundtrack by Kraftwerk.
Yeah. Not even that.
I want to reach out to this technology. I want to incorporate this technology into my art. And
he's so
and
passionate.
Into his band.
Hey, it was cutting edge in 68.
Your toupee looks really natural there, Wendell.
I believe it's not working.
I don't think it's working.
Oh, dear Lord.
But considering it was 1968, a lot of this stuff was really advanced, and you could see hints of what was to come. And this is all at the Bell Labs, AT&T, which is very innovative. Yeah, groundbreaking for those types of technologies. It would have been a fun place to
68
work.
68 was the year they discovered microwave, too, wasn't it? 68, I think.
Oh, microwaves were earlier than that.
Was it? Maybe in 65.
I think it was like late 40s, but we'll have to check up on that.
I thought it was at Bell Labs.
With the melted chocolate candy bar?
No.
Are you thinking about using microwaves for transmitting phone signals?
The microwave.
Okay.
Or they discovered the microwave background.
The cosmic microwave. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that was Bell Labs. I think it was 68-ish. Anyway.
We will check on that.
You know, watching some of this stuff and you're talking about the time frame.
Yes.
I keep being reminded of Douglas Engelbart's big demo where
the mouse.
Not just the mouse, but he was demonstrating a remote desktop pretty much, you know, and networking at the same time. It was a big, but it was cool to see. And I kept thinking of the same kind of thing. You go, oh, they were doing that back then, you know.
Yeah. It just, there wasn't a way to bring it to the masses because home computers were not existent at the time.
Nor did you have the square footage to put this in your house.
Craig, wasn't 68 also the year you were invented?
The idea was conceived. And then the child portion came later.
Your go live date was later.
Yeah, that's right. January. So close.
We have another one from a news clip from 1986 in my old neck of the woods from Chippewa Falls. What famous computer used to be in Chippewa Falls?
Commodore 64.
No.
I have no idea.
Chippewa
Falls. Wait, this is from 86? Is there breakdancing in this video?
Just about.
Was that the Edmund Fitzgerald?
No, that was 75, November 10th, 1975.
Cray?
Jack, that Cray, was a new yes.
Was it Cray in there?
It only takes this long for this machine to do 1.6 billion calculations.
Ooh.
The Cray 2 supercomputer was the highlight of today's open house at Cray Research in Chippewa Falls.
I love her accent.
And not without reason.
One of the major things that makes the Cray 2 computer different is the size of the memory. It would take 32,000 IBM PC computers to be equivalent to one Cray 2 memory. That would be important because
not
many,
the size
many
of the memory is how you use it. Hey, by the way, the beginning of that clip kind of throws me off. She goes, when it takes this long, beep. I'm like, is she cussing or?
What is she saying?
She ran into the desk and hit her shin.
Oh!
Yeah, bam.
But it's an interesting little couple of minute news clip from when before Cray got bought by was it SGI? Who bought Cray?
Who bought Cray?
Oh Cray, gosh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It wasn't. It Sperry and Univac came together to be Unisys. Oh, yeah, shame on us. All right, we need your help, dear listener. Call us, email us, or someone's going to Google it first.
Tell it. Yeah, straighten us out.
I told you about when I sold copiers in Albuquerque, and I stumbled on a Cray Research facility in one of the buildings. Same thing, same building that the Department of Energy was in, mm-hmm. and Sandia Labs, and all of that. They had offices there, but it was kind of interesting wandering down a hall, and people come out of the doors and say, "Can I help you?
I'm here to fix your copier."
Yeah, want to buy a copier?
It was a SGI, by the way.
Okay, good. Thank you. Wow, faster than listeners. It's almost real time on this show. All right, we have another science-y one from the Remember When. It seems like we just started finding exoplanets, but in reality, there's evidence almost 100 years ago, we found one. We're just discovering that we discovered
exoplanets.
Very meta.
Still lots.
Oh, the mothership. She's calling me.
They didn't ask the internet to name this one though.
Phone home.
Banky McPlanet.
Oh, Max Planck's birthday is this week too.
It is.
Yeah.
Plunk.
The Planck length.
Olivia Newton-John's grandfather, right? Max Planck.
Is there really a relationship there?
I believe so. Someone can correct me, but
Jack
I believe
comes out with the killer trivia question of the day.
Right out loud. Go home.
All right. Sorry.
Scientists have found the oldest known man-made, I almost said handmade evidence of the exoplanetary system. And it's been sitting in a basement for almost a century on a piece of glass. In 1917, at the Mount Wilson Observatory in California, an astronomer used a 60-inch telescope to record data from a star now known to be a white dwarf. In the pre-digital era, scientists used glass photographic plates to record elemental information about the stars they observed. They didn't know at the time, but that old form of technology contained telltale clues that the star once probably had planetary bodies or asteroids around it. Ooh.
At one time.
It may not. I wonder if they reobserved the same star. Nearly a century later, a scientist named Jay Farihi of University College London reached out to the current director of the Carnegie Observatories, John Mulcahy, and asked for the specific photographic plate. Luckily, an archivist was able to locate it among the 250,000 or so plates in the observatory. Oh my gosh. He had in his basement.
Wow. His basement.
Oh, dear
the
Lord.
The basement of the observatory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Talk about Alamo. Your orders. Sure
in
enough.
The basement of Alamo.
The spectrum captured on the plate long ago revealed the presence of calcium and other heavy elements that a white dwarf star wouldn't have had, implying that planetary bodies, asteroids, or maybe even a comet fell into it. Likely this system had multiple planets, Mulcahy told FoxNews.com. We don't know what fell in, but it certainly implies that there were planets there. Pretty cool.
It was kind of eye-opening to me when they mentioned that, you know, something could have fell into it like a comet and tainted the star. I was like, you know, you always think that it would be so hot big. It would just kind of whatever
Well, white dwarfs aren't that big, and they're not. They're a remnant. Like our star will be a white dwarf at some point in the future.
Well, I'm just saying that it's pretty hot, no matter what. You would think it would kind of burn up a lot of stuff, but I didn't think that, you know, something could become part of it and just, you know, then you have
he's actually right about that, because the head of a comet's made of ice
and rocky elements.
Well, some rock, not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mostly ice, and that's what we see every time it comes, you know.
So it should be vaporized and
most of it. I mean, if there's any stuff there, it's not going to be very much. And even though a white dwarf star is not very big, it's still very dense.
Yep.
Because it's so compacted. So for them to measure any kind of significant amount of heavy elements is kind of unusual.
It could have been a whole planet fell into the star.
Yeah.
That's
the only thing I can think of.
Or an asteroid,
it still blows my mind that 100 years ago they were even looking at this kind of stuff.
A lot of creaking and cracking going on around here. Sounds like the house
is going to fall apart.
Holly, what are you doing now?
Jumping on the solar panels, apparently.
Quick, run to the pool.
Yeah. Get in the dryer. It's a safe place.
The dryer.
You didn't see my picture on Facebook the other day? From yesterday. Right. Happy Catter Day. Holly jumped in the dryer. I did not place her there.
Yeah, you said you couldn't run a GIF or something on Facebook.
A GIF?
No, yeah.
You gaka. Oops.
Well, she was black cat sitting in a white dryer reminded me of Darth Vader's entrance scene.
Oh, yeah.
So I tried posting that in the comments and it didn't animate. I went, I was so disappointed. I guess Facebook doesn't do animated GIFs anymore.
They do.
Yeah.
We saw it in the comments.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, because it says GIF and you have to click it to make it play. Mine didn't have that.
Oh.
You have to have it, like, you link to it from another site.
Lame. That's right. You can't just load
can't
it.
Just drop
you
it
have
in.
To look.
If you look at
right.
my Facebook profile, there's an animated GIF on there right now.
User error.
The old ugly dancing baby, Craig. Not no, claiming you're an ugly baby dancing.
So you're referring to me?
No.
Are you saying that Craig is a baby buggy monkey?
What is it with this place?
Hey, what was that We were watching something the other day, and my son goes, "Wow, the baby pumpy monkey makes more sense than that."
That's a pretty low bar.
That baby pumpy monkey thing was.
Oh, let's not go there.
At least you knew it like Mountain Dew, right?
Something a little more attractive would be our patrons. As this show is brought to you by you, thank you very much. We'll go through this real quick. Thank you, Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chad D, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Padnaud, and Nick St. Gabriel. They help keep this show. Well, I was going to say they help keep it on track, but that hasn't happened in a long time.
On track.
We got three empty slots on our table here.
The table has many more rows to go, so we would love to put your name on there if you want to be a contributor and help keep us and fund us. So that we can bring you specials like last week's talk with Adam Stelzner from JPL.
Right. Which is Chuck, a whole lot of fun. Should we refer to this as the periodic table of Patreoners?
Oh, patrons? That could be.
Yeah.
They're the elements that keep this show stable.
See? Yeah.
Oh, man. No.
It was fun to talk to Adam the other day, though. That was cool. I had a good time with that.
Yep. Yep, and we are trying to line up a Lowell Observatory tour that we will bring you in May, and many other things. What was the other? We've got, Craig, you were looking to talk to somebody from SpaceX. Any movement on that?
I haven't heard anything, so if you're listening and you work at SpaceX, call me.
Slim chance. How come slim chance and fat chance mean the same thing?
I don't know. So it's a periodic table of Patreons that keep this show insatiable, right?
Or insatiable.
Insatiable?
The cool thing about being a Patreon member is we have a short little after show that we record and only release to the patrons, and it's usually a topical discussion. This week's topic is going to be expanding on our topic of requiring computer skills in schools.
Oh, yay.
So there's a subject in there.
Again?
No. We talked a little bit about it on the show, but we're going to expound upon that and pick people's brains.
And we save our best jokes
from Chuck.
We save our best jokes and best insights for that part of the show.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Well, then I'm in trouble. I just used everything.
He shot the wad. Hey.
But well, they don't know, right?
That way.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over videos here, and things. In the media corner.
Craig's thrown another video in the media corner.
Uh-oh. Yes, I did.
X-Men. I threw it in here. A pack of lips.
Oh, I screwed this up. There we go.
Okay, so in the X-Men, in the last X-Men movie, you remember Quicksilver was running around, and it was a cool scene where he was running so fast he could stop and move something, like the plates and the knives and the guns and all that stuff. And I thought it was a great scene. Well, this they took it a step further. And then this is a commercial for Sky Fiber. I assume it's the internet fiber service in the UK or something, I think. Anyway, they have Quicksilver running around doing stuff. And I thought it was kind of a neat video. So that's why I threw it in here.
We're waiting for the advertisement to get done on the advertisement.
Yeah. Oh, you need to be a YouTube Red subscriber like me.
I read it all right. All right. So you're saying there's...
They hugging the broadband again, eh? That is so uncool.
It's always so slow. What we
need... What we need is a little speed.
Hey, that's Guardians music.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get YouTubed if we play that.
Yeah.
Keep talking. So, all right. So it's a Sky Fiber commercial making fun of the X-Men.
Well, it's using the X-Men. Yes.
Okay.
Well, you can still play it and mute it.
We can play it and mute.
Yeah, but
then it won't make any sense.
But you can't see it.
So it makes Cyclops shoot a blast out of his sunglasses
in
real quick.
In slow motion.
And he starts setting up the whole thing. So his girlfriend over there that, you know, hugs him or whatever at the end.
Okay.
Speaking of fiber, they were supposed to be laying fiber in our neighborhood and they just screwed everything up.
They screwed it up.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You try working from home and with a sketchy internet.
And Kansas City just lost their, what was it, the free tier for Google Fiber?
Well, there was a particular amount of time that they were going to get it for free. And I think that time is starting to sunset.
Now you have to pay.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a free fiber.
Hey, it's not.
Get that at McDonald's.
I mean, it's too affordable. That's what I'm saying. So I would totally pay for it.
Fiber and McDonald's do not go hand in hand.
Fiber.
Let me have the McFiber burger.
Here's the cardboard box it comes in. Here's your McFiber.
Would you like some McFiber with that, sir?
That's Fiber McFiber face.
Fiber McFiber face.
We have a few of the images from Mark Hamill's.
You mean Mark Hamill?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. Hey.
With he had some really great autographs on his cards. I don't know if these were just follies or actually went. Oh, you're gonna have to switch the lowest layer to black. We got the media corner. No,
actually,
back there. Yeah, that kind of looks pretty cool.
He has a reputation of signing things when, you know, like this, when with in a special way, and he does this on fans' stuff.
Okay,
so this is real. You know, and I've seen other pictures.
I think we saw this come up about a year or so ago. Yeah,
we may have talked about it before, but some of this is just hilarious.
Got a standard Luke Skywalker white karate gi
77
picture.
Look, yeah.
Keep this in your wallet if you're a pansy fanboy. He's just sitting on top of the Tauntaun. You smell something, girl? I'm gonna skip over the C-3PO one. We'll just
oh my god.
He's got a dialogue with George
that gives
Lucas.
A whole new meaning to Han Solo calling him Goldenrod.
It's the special edition of Star Wars.
So is that why his arm went red?
Yes.
I don't even get it. I don't even understand my own joke.
Storm over.
That could be the explanation.
That's what happens to droids when they play with a goldenrod. Their arm goes red.
Let's get a dialogue here with George Lucas. Yes, George, but just try acting to these scripts.
And then this one's for...
this one's for 420 day.
Yeah.
World's largest bong for sale. Call Luke, 555-WEED.
Moisture thing out in his moisture farm.
Darn it, I told Uncle Owen not to smoke in the house.
Yeah.
This Vader guy's a loser. Hope he doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
What else we got on that one, Keith? This food sucks.
But the blue milk is good.
I like the one where he's in the jet, the X-Wing pilot uniform.
Class of 78.
Jedi.
Pretty funny.
Very imaginative guy. That does look like a high school picture.
He's a Joker.
He is the Joker.
Joker McJokeface. Well, he is the McJoker.
Yes. All right. I was cruising through Netflix, and I got to tell you, there is one thing that stupefies me about the latest Apple TV. When you're watching Netflix and you put something on your list, there's no place to find your list.
You have to scroll way the heck down.
I went all the way to the bottom.
I can find it on ours, but I have to really scroll quite a ways down.
Somewhere it says my list?
It'll says your list. Yeah, your watch list.
Terrible. Netflix, please fix that. And like pipe it to the top or make it one of the top four tiles.
Yeah.
So it's, profile settings, search, my list. That's ridiculous.
Watch what they want
give
you to
watch. A pause.
Nah, I give that a sad trombone.
Watch what they want you to watch, not what you want to watch.
But what I did find in the recently added section was this show called Algorithms, made about 2007, 2008 by a British mathematician. And he takes you through an hour-long show, not just like the algorithms to do facial recognition on your phone, which is a very cool algorithm, mm-hmm. and explains how that works, but even older algorithms to find patterns of numbers. And really fascinating. And an associated show that he did, I think it was a 3 or 4 part series called The Story of Maths. So you know he's British because it's called Maths.
Oh, I thought you said Nats.
No, M-A-T-H-S.
Oh, I thought you said Maps.
Short for mathematics.
Oh.
We say math.
The story of maps. It was a design flaw.
Mathematics?
Oh, map. Maths. Maths.
Or is that Appomattox?
Maths.
Maths.
Maps of maths.
If Daffy Duck were saying to be math.
Yeah. Look at that.
Very interesting shows if you're into history and science and mathematics.
And things.
I highly recommend.
And things.
I have something. That was not where I thought you were going to go with this when you said Netflix algorithms. But I have something.
Not logarithms.
Algorithms.
Never
mind. Anyway, so here's the deal. Yahoo has this app. It's a Yahoo Video Guide. And it looks at the services that you say you have, like Hulu, Amazon, Netflix. You check them all off, HBO Go. And it's supposed to help you find videos, and it shows you what's popular, what's available, that kind of stuff. And there's a thing called Mood Picker. Now,
Check
this out. I click on thrilling, for the mood, and I see Mad Max, Fury Road, Spy, Furious 7, things like that. I clicked on the other night. I clicked on romantic, and I came up with Mad Max, Fury Road, Furious 7. Hey, Tomahawk.
Mad Max Fury Road was in romantic.
Trainwreck.
Oh, my Lord.
Interstellar. I'm like, what? I don't know. Well,
very angry person's idea of romantic.
There was a guy and a girl, and they were in love, sort of, in that movie.
Yeah.
There was an element of romance in there somewhere.
Sure. But I just thought that was funny. I was like, let's see what this says for romantic. Mad Max Fury Road. I don't think there was an ounce of romanticism in that. Anyway.
No, not really. Our question, we're out of topics.
It was the director's cut. It must have been the director's cut.
We're out of topics, but we do have a question for you this week. Similar to last week. If you're stuck on a desert island and could only take one book.
Marianne.
At least you didn't say Hurley again.
Right.
Monster.
How am I supposed to top that now? Jeez.
Sorry.
You got a book in mind?
Actually, wait, Lord of the Rings.
Did you finish the question?
Lord of the Rings. That's it. Same thing. If you could only take one book, what would it be?
Are you asking me?
Do you have an idea yet, or do you need to think till next week?
No, I would be torn between Hitchhiker's Guide and maybe Lord of the Rings.
All three of them, or just one of the trilogy?
Well, they can print it in one big book.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd have that.
Yeah. Ebook.
I do have the Ultimate Edition, yes.
And all six in the Hitchhiker's trilogy? Or
yeah, all six. All 12.
Oh, wow.
Those are actually really good answers because those have a lot of reread value. That's really what you got to do.
That's why I picked it.
Keith? Yeah.
That's a really good question.
All right.
I'd probably say
or Silmarillion, because you could spend your life trying to figure that out.
I have spent my life trying to read that damn thing.
The same could be said about like William Shakespeare's books, too.
I can't get past the first chapter.
I made it halfway through the Silmarillion.
That's about as far as I've gotten.
What gets me about that book is you start reading and the introductions are like five lines long. Somebody's name is like, you know, just amazing. What, Ben, what'd you say you were? Yours
Lord
was?
Of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Okay.
All right. We want to hear from you, listener 707-530 chat.
Wait, Chuck, what's yours?
I was waiting for that. I knew I couldn't sneak away. I'd bring the Bible. Pamphlet.
Okay.
I'd bring the Bible.
I can't get past the first chapter in that either.
I won't tell you how it turns out.
It's all what? Is it all the begatting?
Yeah.
Jesus dies. Spoiler!
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert!
Hey, spoiler, he comes back.
Yeah.
And then the world ends.
So we want to hear from you, 707-530-CHAT, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Roll that music. There it is, hiding behind the other layer.
Hey, I just thought about that.
What?
The Hitchhiker's Guide starts as the Bible ends. The world blowing up.
What? Wow, oh, Douglas Adams wrote the sequel ending to the Bible.
The sequel
the to Bible. Douglas Adams?
The Bible
Douglas 2. By Douglas Adams, sequel to the Bible.
Bible 2.
Bible 2.
Book 2. It was already 37 books.
The new Testament.
The new Testament.
That takes us out of here.
Even newer Testament.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And as always, Craig, you ready to give us a binary high five?
Yes, I am prepared.
Do it.
1-0-1.
Do it.